Let me ask you this. You got a plan. You got the team. And of course, you have the green light. But wait. Before you dive in and ask yourself, are you unintentionally sabotaging your own projects? Or matter of fact, do you feel like no matter how much effort you put in, things just keep falling apart? I think it's right now, in this moment, in this time, to ask yourself, are stakeholders really giving you the full picture? And are you holding your team accountable for the commitments that they're made? If not, you might be standing in the way of your own project success. Let's dive into the hidden mistakes that could be costing you everything regarding project management. In today's episode, I'm going to make some people very, very uncomfortable. And some of these tips I share today, most project managers, and I promise you, most project managers would not share this information. You say, well, why, ED? Because it costs them so much to learn what I'm about to share today with you. I hope you listen all the way through, because the more you're aware of these traps, the better, the more exceptional project manager you can become. You mind if I share a story with you? If you're not aware, I do offer coaching and mentoring. And right now I'm mentoring three people. One of my mentees had an issue with a stakeholder that happened more than one time. The first time that it happened, he brought it to our coaching session, and I told him that, hey, first you need to have a verbal conversation with the stakeholder as a courtesy, and then let your direct manager know the context of what happened. And basically the solution that was, you know, provided during that discussion. When our next mentor slash coaching meeting session took place, I asked him, so, hey, did you address that issue that you talked to me about verbally with that stakeholder? You know, like I said, give them a courtesy to let them know about the issue that was there, and as well as inform your manager. My mentee assured me that he did. But then he said the stakeholder turned around and did the same thing again. As my mentee was describing this incident, family, which you can tell this was the first time this has ever happened to him, because he sounded so innocent and he sounded so frustrated that he couldn't understand why the stakeholder was blowing this conversation, this discussion, out of proportion. I next told my mentee, listen, you've handled everything professionally with first giving them a courtesy call verbally. Now you need to handle everything via email. If the stakeholder has a conversation, I don't care if it's through text message, through chat, through, I don't care if a pigeon comes and drops a note off at your door, you need to follow up via email and copy your manager on it. You see, family, the reason why I share this story with you, and I did get his approval before I shared the story with you, and I know you think, well, what was the incident? You see, family, the incident was that my mentee was having a conversation with a stakeholder who on the phone or in chat was one person, but then would say something behind his back or send an email to his direct manager, and his direct manager was caught off guard. So I share this with you, family, to set you up for what we're going to talk about in today's episode. Point number one, character assassination. I told you this was not going to be an easy episode. You see, unfortunately, when team members engage in gossip or backbiting, it creates a toxic work environment. It definitely damages the trust between the project manager and the project management team, as well as the stakeholder, as well as what it really takes a toll on is the collaboration. If you know me, if you've listened to me as long as you've been here, you know I'm big on collaboration. Anytime I can break up any silo, I look to do that, because the better we can collaborate, the better we can move forward. Here's my professional insight. You need to address that behavior immediately. As I mentioned before, first have a private discussion with the individual to understand, where's this energy coming from? Why are they creating these roadblocks that don't have to be created? After you do that, then you need to take the next step, in which I described of sending an email correspondent, because this is now we need to get into the documentation phase. You know the motto here, documentation is going to be conversation any day. And if you really want to have a open and a transparent and environment and a collaborative environment, you have to address these issues early and often, because if you don't, this project for you is going to be you may have success as far as getting the project done, but you're not going to look forward to coming to work. You're not going to be excited about being in a toxic work environment. Trust me, I'm not telling you something that I heard. I am telling you something that I know. And also just working, coaching and mentoring people, I've heard this time and time again. And unfortunately, this happens because you could be doing everything right. But this is why I said you could self-sabotage yourself, because you're not looking, you're trying to change someone or something from who they're not. And I'm going to touch on that anyway. Point number two, relying on verbal agreements for deliverables. See, when deliverables are agreed upon verbally without written confirmation, this risks a miscommunication, missed deadlines, and most importantly, a dispute of what was promised. Professional insight. Always document deliverables and their associated timelines and deadlines in writing. Share a formal project schedule and update it regularly. Provide a visual aspect to where anytime a stakeholder or project team member should be able to go and access it, meaning that it's always updated, whether you choose a frequency daily, every other day, whatever that frequency is, make sure that it is done within the frequency that you promised, and ensure stakeholders and team members sign off on these particular documents. Point number three, message. If you're new to this episode or you're new to even listening to me, first of all, I appreciate you. I appreciate your opportunity if you made it this far, because I said it was and it will be uncomfortable in today's episode. However, when I say message is something that I need you to pay attention to, this is a very important point. A lot of times these points that I make, these tips, these opportunities for you to become better, it allows me to understand, to see where some gaps even for myself. So point number three, when project team or stakeholders show you who they are, believe them. Again, family, when project team members or stakeholders show you who they are, believe them. You know, as project manager professionals, we want to treat everyone as a professional, as we should. But sometimes stakeholders or your project team won't be professional with you. It's not about being the bigger person. It's about achieving the end goal that is to complete the project on time, under budget or on budget, manage scope and quality, the whole triple constraint aspect. But when you don't get that in return, you must understand that if you do not manage the stakeholders or a project team effectively, they will manage you. And they may end up managing you out your own opportunity. And this may have nothing to do with you. But because you trusted what they said that they were going to do, and they done it to you once and didn't deliver, they've done it to you twice and they didn't deliver, it's sometimes you need to say, you know what, I understand where this person sits. This is not an emotional decision of what I'm making. I know I need to document how we have a conversation, because I don't feel safe when you give me something verbally, whether you have other things going on and you may have forgotten, which is respectful. So I will send you an email. So when you tell me that you never got the information or you're not aware of the information, we can look at the email right there. Here's my professional insight. When you deal with stakeholders or project team members that are unprofessional, always remember to keep the main thing and focus on achieving the project success. However, I'm not advocating or advising for you to be a doormat. I'm not advocating or advising you to just be a pushover. If the project environment becomes too toxic, then you must work on equipping yourself to have the ability to move on to another project, or unfortunately, and I hope that you don't have to take this route of leaving the actual organization. Point number four, letting important decisions slide. Procrastinate or allow an indecision in crucial moments cause project delays and erodes the team confidence in your leadership. Family, don't procrastinate. Create a sense of urgency. When you create a sense of urgency, instead of, you know, there's a decision that needs to be made, instead of saying, oh, I'll wait until tomorrow. No, let's get in contact with a stakeholder that can help us make this decision, or the project team member that can help make that decision. Here's my professional insight. Drive decision-making by setting deadlines for key decisions. If stakeholders are indecisive, offer well-informed recommendations to prompt them into action. Point number five, not addressing stakeholders' concerns early. You know, when stakeholders raise concerns and they're not addressed, I'm going to be honest with you because I've done this thing and I know what happens. They start losing confidence, not just in the project, but they also start losing confidence in you. And then they start pushing for late stage type changes, and you do not want to experience that. Here's my professional insight. Actively listen to stakeholders' concerns, address them immediately, offer solutions and or alternatives to keep the project on track while ensuring their concerns are being acknowledged. Point number six, underestimating the impact of delays. Small delays, family, often snowball into larger issues, which affect major dependencies like your milestones, like your final delivery date. You get where I'm going with this. Here's my professional insight. Monitor the project timeline closely and flag even the minor delays immediately. I mean, promptly, just like if it was a major delay. Why do we want to do that? Because when we do that, we can reprioritize tasks as needed and adjust timelines before these small delays turn into major ones. Point number seven, lack of regular status updates. You know, I'm going to try to keep my cool here because I'm trying not to laugh, family, because, you know, I've seen it where you wouldn't even see a status report or some type of dashboard to let stakeholders know, because the project team most of the time knows what's going on because they're going on because they're part of the regular meetings. But I've been in situations where they weren't even used to having regular meetings or two meetings a week. They're like, no, we just send our stuff in to the project manager and he updates something and this happens. And I'm like, no, that's not how we roll here. So without regular updates, stakeholder and team members may feel disconnected, leading to a lack of visibility, as which also surprise issues can creep in late into the project. Here's my professional insight, family. Implement regular status updates, whether that's weekly or biweekly, and share these with the stakeholders. Don't try to hide anything. Be very transparent. Highlighting your progress, any risk issues, and any actionable items that are required. I would recommend using visual aids like a dashboard, just using a PowerPoint slide, or if you use smart sheets, using a dashboard, or even Microsoft Project, use tools that allow you to create that visual representation. Point number eight, not managing stakeholders' expectations. You know the motto here, another one of our mottos is frustration comes from the lack of understanding of the actual expectations. When you do not establish the expectation of the project, you will have not only your stakeholders, your project team members upset as well or frustrated because they didn't understand the expectations. So you want to clearly communicate and align at the start of the project so stakeholders and project team members can be, so they won't become dissatisfied as the project progresses. This also can, again, as you guys are aware of, lead to friction. Let me give you my professional insight. Set clear expectation with stakeholders from the very beginning, providing, again, what we talked about earlier on point number seven is regular status update and also being transparent about the progress, risk, and any potential delay. I got two bonuses for you, family, and then I'll give you my transformational insights and I'll let you be on your way. Bonus number one, ignoring team dynamics and interpersonal issues. Sometimes you can get so caught up in the project that you can overlook the tension between team members, which in return can erode, or I should say corrode, the collaboration that you have really took time to help build with the team. And when that happens, then you lead to missed deadlines, definitely poor quality of work. And then all of a sudden you start creating this passive aggressive behavior between stakeholders, project team members, and the project manager himself. Here's my professional insight. Actively observe team dynamics, address interpersonal conflicts as soon as they arise, and look at this, family. Consider team building exercises or coaching for individuals who struggle with collaboration. Here's my last and final bonus for you, family. failing to rebook key meetings with attendees who made a decision, not a choice, a decision to cancel. If key stakeholders or decision makers can't attend a meeting and the meeting proceeds without them, important decisions may be delayed or made without the necessary input, resulting in rework. Here's my professional insight. So for the critical attendees who either cancel, wanted to reschedule the meeting for their participation, I would recommend scheduling a meeting either with them one-on-one or bring it or scheduling a whole nother meeting. Also providing them the notes from the meeting that you just had and then and bringing that to a meeting. But you want to get them on the call so you can also get their buy-in as well. Here are my three transformational remarks, family. Point number one, relying on verbal agreements for deliverables. Like I said, it's important, family, when an agreed upon deliverable is done on the phone or I should say verbally, please document that deliverable and its associated deadlines in writing and share it in a formal project schedule or email and update it regularly. This way, this avoids any type of risk of miscommunication or missed deadlines or actually disputes of what was actually promised. You see, I had to do the quote. Point number two, failing to rebook key meetings with attendees who cancel. Like I shared earlier, that was one of the bonuses. It's critical that you need to get back in front of that that crucial stakeholder or that decision maker because of the fact of that they may push back on a decision that was made without them being there. So the first step is sending out the meeting recap of the meeting that you had with them not being there, and then scheduling another meeting with them to ensure to get their buy-in. Here's something I was just thinking of as I'm talking about this is, if they choose not to attend after you set up a meeting, you want to send them you want to send them an email and say, and asking them, do I have your official decision to basically, this was the decision that was made. And if you decide not to attend the meeting, do I have your official sign off that we're good here? Because again, you don't want for this to come back and bite you. And the last and final transformational remark, when project team members or stakeholders show you who they are, family, believe them. I know it's hard, especially project managers that are trying to show how much they care, especially if you love this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. We can get so caught up in believing the good in people, and we're supposed to, but when someone consistently shows you who they are by not showing up to meetings, but not being professional and not treating the project as they should by completing things on time, by being accountable for what they said they were going to deliver, then you must, and I promise you, you must go ahead and address that immediately, because if not, that project environment will become toxic, and then you'll find yourself trying to make a hard decision to either stay or go. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. Thank you for this opportunity. I hope you stuck all the way through, because there were some great tips in here that if you're thinking about getting into project manager, becoming a project manager, or if you're already one, you're probably saying, why did you share all of our secrets? Well, listen, I want more people in this field that I love called project management. And I think you are the person that can really step in and step up. If there's anything I could do to help, please feel free to reach out to me. Thank you.